Well, we are in week two of the series, Prayer. That's the name of the series. Prayer is conversing with God. It's having a conversation with God. I think that is incredible that the God who created everything, the God who holds the stars in the palm of his hands, the God who sustains all things by his word, that he would allow us to have an audience with him. Have you ever thought about that before? That's incredible. And we can have that audience with him whenever we want. We don't need a priest or a mediator to go to him for us. We can step into his presence. You know, I don't think that we take enough advantage of our opportunity to do this enough. The one who has answers to every problem in our life, the one who can meet every need we have, the one who longs for an intimate time with his creation. It's inconceivable that we scarce can make time for him in our busy days. Would you agree? And it is apparent that we do not value prayer like we should. Truth be told, I don't think that we see the benefit of it. It seems too slow for our fast-paced world, and we need to learn its value. That's why we're going through this series. One of the ways that we can learn to value prayer, now I know this may be kind of above your logic quota here, but one of the ways that we can learn to value prayer is by getting more answers to our prayer. Wouldn't you agree? If we got more answers to our prayer, we would probably pray more. Because it certainly does not build up one's faith to pray, pray, and pray and see relatively few answers. As an analogy, I can't seem to get Zach excited about fishing. I like it, but for him, there hasn't been enough payoff. For all of our fishing outings, which there have been quite a few, all we have to show for it is a few 5-inch carp. And I'm not kidding. Mac, as I heard you tell your story about you're about to go lake fishing, I was like, oh man, I would love to catch something bigger than that. And Zach even more so. But since that is his only reward for all of our effort and time, it makes sense that he's just really not into it. People are like that with prayer. If there were more answered prayers, I think people would be more excited to pray. But that's what I want to help us with in this series. Seeing more answered prayer. And by doing so, it will get us pumped up and excited to pray more. Wouldn't you agree? But let me exhort you that we must put in the effort and be willing to pray unceasingly. Do you remember what we talked about last week? John Piper said one of the explanations for unceasing prayer, one of the definitions is just not giving up on prayer. It doesn't necessarily mean praying constantly 24 hours a day, but it means not giving up when we are not seeing the answers to our prayer. So when we see more answers, we will be more grateful. But we are not to give up. And it's hard, you know. It's hard when you're not seeing your prayers answered, because we have been so conditioned to expect instantaneous gratification for any effort we expel towards something. That's just our culture. And I know it can tend to be many of us in here personally. I, for one, if I have to wait longer than 20 seconds for my computer to connect to the internet, man, I'm frustrated. 20 seconds. I remember the old dial-up days, actually, when it took like 10 minutes. You just hear it trying to connect. Now it's 20 seconds. If I have to wait for someone to cross the intersection in front of my car at a snail's pace, and you know those people, I'm tempted to blow my horn right when they get to that spot. I have some really tragic stories about my past police days. I was not the nicest guy. when those slow walkers were walking across on my patrol car, I just couldn't resist. And what could they do? I know. I'm a bad guy. As you can imagine, waiting in line at the checkout counter at Walmart is a spiritual endurance test for me. It's the same when I order something off the internet. If it's not here in 2 or 3 days, I'm calling customer service. Shanna, where's my package? It should have been here yesterday. I'm sorry, everybody has coronavirus and the factory hasn't been working for 4 months. That's no excuse. The owner should have gone down and boxed up my stuff. You know, that's why microwaves are some of humanity's greatest gifts. These attitudes have spilled over into our prayer life, where we expect God to answer our prayers immediately. Okay, maybe 2 or 3 days max. As if our prayers are some type of Amazon order. When we don't see our prayers answered immediately, we've been conditioned to just, how many of you said this? Must be God's will. Just chalk it up to God's will. That's the rub, isn't it? How do we know when our prayers are being prayed according to God's will? As good students of Holy Scripture, we always have this little gem floating around in the back of our prayers. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask of Him. How many of us have this verse just kind of shooting through our mind when we don't see a prayer answered? Oh, there, that verse again. Yes, it must not have been according to God's will. If this is true, and it must be true because it's in God's word, then how do we pray God's will? If He has promised it to us in His word, it's His will. We can start with this. Now, I had a quote from Ian Bounds last week. Promises are God's golden fruit to be plucked by the hand of prayer. We must be determined to attain what God has promised us. Often the promises of God are waiting for us to reach up and grab it. The higher the fruit and greater the promise, the further we must be willing to reach. This summer, Zach and I were offered some pears off of someone's tree. We got our stick with the hook in it, and we went to get our pears. When we got over to the tree, we noticed that the fruit that was low-hanging, that was really in the shade, it was either not ripe enough or it was too ripe and kind of mushy. But as we looked up to the top of the tree, the fruit that got all the sunlight, that got all the nourishment from the rain, those looked like the best fruit. But we just couldn't wish it from up there to down here. Not I, but my son had to go up in that tree. He had to go up with his stick. Now I moved the big limbs from down below, and he'd stretch out just far enough with all his effort, and he'd pluck it, and I'd try to dive for the pear before it hit the ground so he wouldn't bruise it. But that was the best fruit. The fruit that was the hardest to get. The ones we had to commit some effort to. That was the ones that tasted really, really good. Often God's biggest and best promises are the ones we have to work at, stay at, employ faith and trust, and even remind God Himself that we are here to get the fruit that He promised. That's not rude. God wants us to approach Him with reminders of His Word. It's an act of faith. It's an act of trust. Now, I'm going to give you a freebie here. This is just kind of off the notes for a second. But one of the greatest ways you can get your prayers answered, one of the easiest ways, and I'm telling you, it's worked wherever I've taught this. If you need a parking space, pray and ask God for a parking space. For years, I didn't know why it is that some of my prayers seem to go unanswered, but whenever I pray for a parking space, He gives it to me. Oh Lord, I need a parking space. And then I begin driving around with expectancy and faith that He's going to give me that space. And this week I finally found out why God gives me that parking space, that prayer of faith. No, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Thank you, Lord, I receive it. For some of you that didn't get that, just, I'm sorry. The promises of God, that is what we need to pray. Charles Spurgeon, I have a quote from him. He touches on how to pray God's promises. The best praying person is the one who is most believingly familiar with the promises of God. That means they have it in their mind. It's in their heart. They've been reciting it. They know what it is. After all, prayer is nothing but taking God's promises to Him and saying to Him, do as Thou hast said. Prayer is the promise utilized. A prayer which is not based on a promise has no true foundation. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great ones of faith. Now, before looking at some of God's promises and learning how to pray them, we need to consider three things. Hey, did anybody write down any promises this week? That was kind of the homework over the weekend. Okay, I want to encourage you to begin reading God's Word, looking for the promises. I want to show you how to look for those here. So, before looking at some of the promises, I'm going to go through with you and show you how to pray those. There's three things that we must consider here. The first is that God makes two types of promises. The first is unconditional. Are y'all able to read that? Any of you over 40, you're probably just shaking your heads at me. All right. I'll read it to you. Yeah, that might, anything will help. Unconditional promises. This is a promise that is made without attaching any conditions to it whatsoever. For instance, God promised to never again destroy man from the earth by way of a flood in Genesis 9:11. That's just a promise He made. There's no conditions to it. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be good or we have to do this. God just flat out says, I'm never going to destroy the earth by flood again. And in fact, as a reminder to myself, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky. You know, a rainbow, I heard a pastor teaching one time that it's in the form of a bow. Now, I know we can give scientific explanations for this, but God could have created science any way He wanted to. So He put a rainbow in the sky, and it's a bow, like you shoot a bow and arrow. A bow is a reminder to God that He will never flood the earth again. When we see a rainbow, that's one of the great unconditional promises. Another one is in Genesis 12:7, says, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. Abraham didn't have to do anything. His descendants don't have to do anything other than, well, they have to pray, of course, to be the descendants of Abraham and be part of that family. But this is God's unconditional promise. I'm going to give you a lot of kids. There you go. The other type of promise is conditional promise. This type of promise is subject to requirements, and it is by far the most common kind of promises that God makes us. A conditional promise is this. If this, then that. Right? That's the standard conditional promise. If this, then that. Why is this important to know which is which, whether it's an unconditional promise or a conditional promise? Because sometimes we have to know what conditions exist for us to fulfill them before God grants our request. It's that simple. When we are praying the promises of God, we need to look at what He is requiring in those promises. And here is the defining conditional promise, which is the foundation for all of our praying. In Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Do you see a condition in there? Believe. There is a requirement of faith in all of our petitions. And we're going to touch on faith in here in just a little bit. The third thing is that we have to keep in mind is context. Now, we must be aware of context. As we read some parts of Scripture, we find that God makes promises to specific people in a specific season about a specific thing. For instance, some of the promises that God made to David about his lineage remaining on the throne of David forever. He made some promises to Solomon. Now, we can't just look at those promises and go, he said it right here. I grabbed that promise. No, we need to look at the specific promise in the specific context. Now, I will say this, that if it's a promise to God's people, generally speaking, to God's people, we can claim those promises because we've been grafted in to God's family. We are God's people. When God speaks to His people, He's speaking to us. And when we see those promises, go, yes, that's when I can pray. Now, the parking spot pun I just gave a few minutes ago, I took that completely out of context, and that's part of the humor in that. Because Jesus was talking about, He goes to prepare a place for us in heaven, right? He's not talking about giving us a parking space. Just so that I know that you know that I know when something's out of context. So for now, let's look at praying the promises of God. I mean, that's why everybody came this morning, right? I want to learn how to pray these promises. Turning your Bibles to James chapter 1. And look down at verse 5. So in these verses here that we're about to read, God promises that He will give us wisdom if we ask for it. Here's the verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wow, that's a pretty good promise. Is that conditional or unconditional? Unconditional. Well, it's conditional. In just verse 5 alone? Now, Brett, I know that you have this whole passage memorized, so don't. Hold on for just a second. I know that you have the answer. I know he does. So as we look at verse 5, we say, wow, that's a conditional promise there. That's an unconditional promise. If we lack wisdom, let us ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But now let's look at verse 6. Let's add 6 through 8 to it. But let him ask in faith, with what? No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, do you think verse 5 is conditional or unconditional? It's conditional on verses 6 through 8. Those all go together. God says if you do this, and by the way, what is it that we have to do? We have to ask and believe. That's right. We have to ask and believe unwavering. Unwavering. With faith, without doubting. So here's how I would pray this promise. Using James 1 through chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. I see this, and here's what I do. Father, I need you to figure this thing out. I need some wisdom. Your word says that you will give us wisdom if we ask for it. That's verse 5, right? So I'm asking. And I believe that you are giving me wisdom even as I pray. So I thank you. There's verses 6 through 8, right? If I'm harboring any doubt, by your grace, help my unbelief. That's how we pray the promises of God. Flip it over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:5 is a promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 5 reads, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For, which means because, or therefore, He Himself has said, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we got a promise there in verse 5 that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Is that conditional or unconditional? I believe that it's a conditional promise. The condition is that we need to be content with what we have. We need to let our conduct be without covetousness. So we need to check our heart when we're desiring for something. Go, God, am I coveting that thing for which I'm praying? Or do we need it? Are we content even if he says no? Here's how I would pray that. Father, I need some help. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I know that you are all I need. You are all I need. And even if you say no, I thank you anyway. And I thank you for your presence and all that you have given me. Your word says that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm reminding him of his word, of his promise. Well, I need you to come alongside me and hold me up. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm at the conditions of that promise in the prayer. Now I believe by faith what I'm asking him for. You said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'll tell you, I've prayed this promise many, many times. Probably too much to go into this morning. Especially when I was a police officer. And by the way, as a cop, you don't work without fear. Fear is part of the day. Part of this, just, it goes with it. There's some courage that is there. But it does not mean that there's an absence of fear. God, will you not leave me nor forsake me? Your word says this. Romans 8:28. This prayer is praying to ask God to bless us in a situation that doesn't look good. Maybe it's circumstances. Maybe it's just an enemy that's just seems too big. That's in front of us. Verse 28 of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Is this conditional or unconditional? What do you think? And what is that condition? We got to love God, right? Got to love Him. If you love me, I'm going to work all things for good for those who are called according to my purpose. So here's how I would pray it. Holy Spirit, I ask for your blessing in this endeavor, whether it's a deal or a job or whatever. I'm up against some pretty big giants, or some things are happening that are way beyond my control. Please help me. I love you. Turn this for good. Turn this for good. Have all the elements. I've met all the conditions of that prayer. Now let me just say that God's not up there with a legal stick going, oh, well, you didn't pray it just right. I'm just saying there are conditions to prayer that God has called us to meet. When I sold real estate, has anybody else ever sold real estate out here? It looks like an easy job, but it's not for the faint of heart. It's really not. You can have just a deal go south in a matter of seconds. You're dealing with a lot of attitudes, and whenever you're dealing with money, there's money, a lot of money out there. Money corrupts, and it just causes good people to do bad things. And many times I was in the road driving to either a house that's about to be sold, or I'm about to deal with some angry clients, or a bad lender or something like that. I would pray this prayer. I would. I'm not kidding. God, this whole deal is about to go bad. And we're going to lose it all. And by the way, I tithe on this deal, just as a little remember, just a little reminder to you. But I love you. And I know your word says that all things work out for good for those who are called according to your purposes. I believe that you've put me in this spot, that you've put me here today, and I believe that you're going to work this deal out. Somehow you're going to Romans 8:28 this, and it's going to be okay. Because you love me and I love you. I'm not kidding. I've probably prayed that 50 times. And that wasn't for 50 deals that gone bad. I was actually a pretty good realtor. But But you, again, when you're working with money, man, it just, people get wacky. And that's just the way it is. All right. Here's one. A prayer for help. Exodus 14, 14. Now this is one you need to put in your pocket. Or get a badge or book reminder. Something. Commit this verse to memory. This is one you're going to constantly pull out. It reads, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Is that a conditional or unconditional? Yeah, it could be both. It could be both, really. Because as you read it, do I need to hold my peace in order for you to fight for me? Or are you just going to fight for me and I'm just going to hold my peace? Well, my interpretation of it, I think it could be either. But it's a great promise. The way I read it is, the Lord's going to fight for me. And I'm not going to sin with my mouth. I'm not going to let my mouth run, just start going against my enemies. I'm not going to start confessing unbelief. I'm going to hold my peace. I'm going to hold my peace. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to do what is right, and I'm going to allow you to fight for me. I'm going to allow you to. The battle is yours. And I find that consistent with other scriptures throughout the Holy Word. So here's how I would pray it. Holy Spirit, I have been wronged, and I feel powerless to do anything about it. How many are feeling powerless right now to do anything about what we're seeing in our government? Powerless, right? We're little ants in the cornfield. How are we going to fight the giants? We fight the giants through prayer. That is one of the only things we have, unless one of you are running for Senate, and I don't know about that right now. We can get a word in. It's who you know. But I don't know anybody that could put in a good word for me other than Jesus and the Holy Spirit right now. And it's Him that we have to be talking to and confessing this verse. God, you need to fight for me. I'm going to hold my peace. I'm not going to speak against my enemies. I'm not going to speak against my president. I'm not going to speak against my governor. I'm going to hold my peace, but I need you to fight for me. I need you to fulfill this promise. So here's how I would pray it. Holy Spirit, I've been wrong and I feel powerless to do anything about it. Will you fight for me according to your promise? I will hold my peace and I will keep from sinning with my mouth as you do fight for me. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Got just a couple, a few more for you. Because I really, it's important that you catch this morning. Philippians 4. Verses 6 through 7, I've shared about this verse with you before. If you're feeling fearful or anxious, I was forced to buy, just situations were as they were. I was forced to get a new car for the family about 7 years ago. We didn't have the money. Had to get one. We had to have ones. Had to go down and get it. I went from having no payments on a car to suddenly the very next day having $500 payments. That can cause someone to lose sleep, and it did me. I had a panic attack in the middle of the night. And I got up and I began, and just the way God moves, He had moved it on my heart to begin memorizing this scripture just like a few days before. So I'd been working on it already. And when that panic attack hit, I busted out this scripture like it was a 357, pointed at the devil's head. Philippians 4, 6, 7. I began to confess this over and over again. And you know what? After about 30 minutes, the panic attack left me. It left as quick as it went. He tried to come back the next night. The devil did, with that worry and panic. I began praying this. I didn't get out of bed this time. I laid in the bed and I began to confess this verse. The panic left and it sent me into a sleep, and I slept well the whole night. And he didn't try it for a third time. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, this was His promise to me. He gave me peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It didn't make any sense that I wouldn't be fearful or panicking over a $500 payment that I was suddenly making. And this peace will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Is this conditional or unconditional? Conditional. Where's the condition at? Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Hey, you guys are getting good. You're getting good at this. Here's how I would pray it. Father, I'm feeling stressed and anxious right now. I'm feeling fearful and overwhelmed, and I need your peace. You say in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, that I'm to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with my prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let my requests be made known to you. So that's what I'm doing. Give me peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank you, God, for your peace. I thank you in Jesus' name. It's as simple as that. A prayer for justice in Romans 12, 19. We just have two more. Romans 12, 19 says, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Who thinks that maybe God was just kidding about repaying? He was just joking around? I don't think so. Is this conditional or unconditional? What is the condition? What is that? Do not avenge yourself, absolutely. Don't take the law. That is, give place to wrath. That means you remove your wrath and you let God's wrath come in and fight for you. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. So it's conditional, but it's got a little fragrance of unconditional in there. Here's how I would pray it. Lord, according to Romans 12:19, you promised to enact justice. I cry out to you as the great judge who upholds justice and mercy. God, I trust you to avenge the evil that has touched my life. Thank you that final justice is not my responsibility. I will strive to live at peace with everyone, knowing vengeance is yours. Lord, I trust your timing, your power, and your promises. This is not just how I would pray it. I came across this week. This is David Jeremiah that just prayed that prayer. He's a guy I highly respect. I know most of you do too. He's a man of God. He prays the promises of God. And this was his promise for this particular verse. I just thought that was pretty cool. I could not have prayed it any better. The next one and the final is a prayer for strength. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 40. We'll begin on verse 28. Aren't you glad you brought your Bibles today? By the way, the Bibles in the pew are, if you didn't bring your Bibles, you can. I usually teach from the New King James Version, and it will help you follow along. But I would ask that you wouldn't write in those Bibles, but certainly that you would use them while you're here. So beginning in verse 28, Isaiah chapter 40. This is a prayer for strength. How many of you need strength? All of us, right? Right? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor he is weary. We sang about that today, everlasting God. Diane and I didn't plan on that. We didn't sing that song because I was teaching on this. It's just the Holy Spirit kind of confirming that we're heading in the right way. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. I was thinking about those verses as I was praying this week for our nation, just feeling kind of helpless, remembering and praying these very prayer to God. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who what? For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is this conditional or an unconditional promise? There's a conditional, and what is the condition in here? That we wait on the Lord. That we don't run before Him, start taking matters in our own hands, start making a mess out of stuff. I'm reminded of the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. They got tired of waiting. Well, maybe we should just take things in our own hands. Sarah gives Hagar to Abraham. Ishmael's born. The world to this very day is still suffering from that decision. Here's how I would pray this. Lord, you promise never to grow weary. You supply limitless power to the weak, and you increase the strength of those who need it. Thank you for renewing my strength each day as I trust in you. Lord, teach me to wait on you. Lift me up on the wings of eagles so that I can soar above my circumstances. My to-do list is long and my trials are great, but you give me strength. You have no rival and no equal. You are the creator of heaven and earth, and nothing is too much for you. That's a prayer that God can get behind. Do you see and understand how this is done? We find a promise that relates to your situation. We determine if it's conditional or unconditional. Then we look at the context and turn it into a prayer for our particular situation. It's that simple. I'll say it one more time. We find a promise that relates to our situation. We determine if it's conditional or unconditional. If it's conditional, what are those conditions? We pray it back to the Lord. And of course, we look at the context and make sure that it's a prayer that that we can get behind as well and pray. So whether conditional or unconditional, all of God's promises require faith. And faith is what I want to touch on now as it relates to prayers. But we'll go in more in depth next week. I'll devote a full 30 minutes to it. But let me just give you a few quotes to be thinking about this week. We'll have them on the screen. The first is, prayer is the hand of faith stretched out to receive. Faith lays its hand on the thing asked for. Isn't that cool? Faith lays its hand on the thing asked for. Here's the next one. The absence of faith restrains God's power. It paralyzes the arm of Christ and turns to death all signs of life. If you email me, I can send you these quotes. Then there's this. I believe it was Spurgeon. It might have been the next one is E.M. Bounds about unbelief. Unbelief is the one thing that seriously hinders Almighty God in doing any mighty works. You remember Jesus couldn't do any works in his hometown? And say, hey, why aren't you healing anybody? Man, the unbelief is just unbelievable. I can't do any works here. And then there's finally this quote. Prayer to Christ must always be based, backed, and impregnated with faith. So as you read this week, look for God's promises and determine if they're conditional or unconditional. And if conditional, look for the promises. Now, I do want to say this real quick. God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of grace. Many times in a moment of desperation, we cry out to God. We can't think, okay, what promise does this fit? We just cry out to Him, and God hears us. In our moment of need, oh God, help me. Help me. God hears. God is a God of love. He knows what you're going through. The Bible says that He knows what you need before you even ask. But we got to be praying. We got to pray. We got to take our petitions and our concerns and everything that we have to pray. And we have to pray like there's no tomorrow, but tomorrow depends on it. We're going to talk about faith next week and how this plays out in our prayers. Amen. Let's stand.